Your favorite World Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be. Listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show. I'm glad that you're joining us again. We've all been shocked and saddened by the recent devastation of the hurricanes and the flooding in the Midwest, and it breaks our hearts when innocent victims suffer, especially kids. According to the Center for Disease Control, in the 2009 statistics, in the United States, cancer is the second most common cause of death among children between the ages of 1 and 14. More than 16 out of every 100,000 children and teens in the U.S. were diagnosed with cancer, and nearly, unfortunately, 3 of every 100,000 died from the disease. The most common cancers in children were leukemia, cancer of the bone marrow and blood, and brain and central nervous center system cancers. Well, the University of Minnesota did some research, and they showed that patients in their first or second remission from leukemia had a significantly lower likelihood of leukemia reoccurring if they were transplanted with 2 umbilical cord blood units. And it changed from a 19% versus to a 34% not having a reoccurrence. And so that kind of research needs funding. Today we're going to learn how taking kids hunting can raise money for children's cancer research. Today, my guest host is my personal oncologist, who is doing this in a special favor to me on my 60th birthday today. So, our guest is Dr. John Waples. He's the director of Stem Cell Transplant Program and a staff physician at Clearview Cancer Institute in Huntsville, Alabama, where they've had some recent tornadoes themselves. He's co-authored numerous articles about stem cell research. And you know what else? He wrote the words to this country song, Every Dog Has Its Day, sung by Toby Keith. He's an avid hunter, and he is going to tell us how this organization began and how you can become involved in it. So welcome, Dr. Waples.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, and happy birthday.
Well, thank you. So I didn't know that you were one of the initiators in getting this whole organization started. So you have many talents that I didn't know about.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been great. And I've certainly gotten a lot more out of this experience than I've put into it. But it's really a team effort. And there were 3 of us who sat down up on my farm, Super Dave Norvell, myself and the game warden up in Lincoln County, Tennessee, Leif Klondike, and we came up with the concept of getting kids outdoors and having them have a great and positive outdoor experience and at the same time raise money for a good cause like cancer research or, you know, the treatment of childhood diseases. Mm-hmm. And our primary beneficiary has been St. Jude's, and it's been a lot of fun. And we did the legal work, and we've and slowly but steadily, you know, went into several states and have gotten a lot of kids outdoors and a variety of activities. It's been great.
Wonderful. So how long ago did it actually start?
It was a few years ago. I want to say it's about 4 years ago, maybe five now, where we sat down and did a little work and had our first event. And the first event was huge, actually, because it was kind of we took over a smaller event and just made it bigger. It was about, we took 300 kids on a deer hunt up in Lincoln County, Tennessee. They had a great time. A lot of kids had success, and success isn't always carrying something home with you, but having a positive experience, and they got to see hunters doing a great thing, and including spending their time teaching kids, but also helping raise money for a great cause.
Mm-hmm. And these kids don't have to be sick. These can be any children.
That's right. We obviously prioritize, you know, the kids in wheelchair or sick kids and take special care of them. But there's a lot of kids out there that just don't have the opportunity to go out in the outdoors. You know, maybe they're a child in a single parent family, and that parent just can't go hunt because they'd have to leave the other kids somewhere, or they're in a family that there's just no hunting, or they don't have the opportunity because their neighbors or their parents don't hunt. So we give those kids the next priority to have them have this experience. And then, you know, we fill in the gap for the kids that just want to hunt, have hunted, and like having a good time. And just getting all those different types of kids together, it's really extraordinary.
Do you have to do, like, gun safety or any training with them before you take them out on the expedition?
That's right. And we have guides that go with them. The guides go through an educational process. The kids in every state we've been to, the game wardens have been great at showing up and doing educational and safety tips and making sure the kids are doing it right, doing it safely first. And safety always comes first, so they get to learn that the first day they go out.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have to have a parent go with them?
We encourage that, and actually it's often a guide, a parent, and the child. Sometimes the parent's not, it's just not able to go, and they'll send a friend or a guardian, or we'll send two guys with that child out. Mm-hmm. But we always have at least three people out together.
Okay, and you have to have permission slips and all that signed if the child is not with their legal guardian.
That's right. That's a requirement to make sure that we have a parent or acceptable guardian that's given us permission to take them out.
Mm-hmm. And do you take along, like, nurses and stuff for people who are in wheelchairs?
Usually, you know, we will cater. We'll find out what the child with special needs has. And it's been amazing what some people do. One gentleman never let anybody hunt on his farm. But he heard about this event. He heard it was going to be catering to sick kids or kids with special needs. And he opened his farm up, said, I want a kid in a wheelchair, and I'm going to get that kid in a deer blind, you know, which is usually 15 feet above the ground.
That's right.
And we're like, well, he's in a wheelchair. He can't climb. He said, you leave that to me. You just bring the kid here. Well, when we showed up, he had this elaborate deer blind made that could probably fit 10 people, and about 100-foot ramp that the wheelchair could be pushed right up into the wheelchair right on the edge of the field. I can't believe he put that much work into it. And the little kid in the wheelchair actually shot a deer. It was his first deer ever. And he named it Hercules, and he was the hero of the whole event. And it was the other special part is we had some kind of professional hunters in there and cameramen. We filmed it, and there wasn't a dry eye in the blind with all these macho men in there. So it was pretty funny.
That is wonderful. And I can imagine it's the highlight of that young person's life to do that. That's remarkable. I have sitting in front of me the mission statement and the goals. Do you have that, or would you like me to read so our listening audience can know what?
No, go ahead and read it. I helped craft it years ago, but it hadn't really changed much at all.
Okay. This is the mission statement. It says, Kids Hunting for a Cure is a nonprofit organization which provides financial support to research hospitals and foundations dedicated to developing cures for cancer and childhood diseases. Monies are raised by children and adults through community-sponsored outdoor events designed for youth. Additionally, this organization promotes youth personal growth and appreciation of nature through adult-mentored outdoor activities. So it does a variety of things, not just for the research, but also for those that are participating. Do you have like a volunteer training program for people who want to do this on a regular basis?
What we do, you mean talking about starting a chapter in their area?
Well, that too, but I was thinking about if somebody wanted to be like a big brother type of thing and wanted to go on these excursions on a regular basis, is there a training to help them know, you know, how the organization is run, what they need to do?
Well, we give each chapter a lot of flexibility on what they do and how they organize it. But we give them recommendations, but we let them be flexible. And, for example, we have fishing events. You know, we've had hiking events, we have hunting events, deer, ducks, turkey, and they're all organized a little bit differently. But in general, you know, the education of the guides who want to help out and be a kind of a big brother equivalent, we actually do have that. People enjoy so much taking these kids out, they will actually travel from one event to another.
Hmm.
And that's been awesome because often, you know, we may run out of guys before we run out of kids that want to go.
Oh.
And so it's really fascinating. You know, a lot of people, for a lot of reasons, you know, may not open their farm up for hunters in general, but they'll open their farm up for this. So knocking on doors and getting farmers to open up for a kids event to raise money for good charity has actually been a lot easier than I thought.
Good.
The next step is then to get enough guides and get them educated and all that. So these guides that travel from one event to another that help take kids out has been a blessing for them and for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a great thing. But in, you know, the general education for the guides is pretty similar. You know, number one, safety. Number two, make sure the kid has a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about getting an animal or something like that. The first thing is the kid has a good time and has fun. And
mm-hmm.
and so that we make sure that's a priority, not necessarily, you know, harvesting an animal.
Okay. Well, good. I'm going to read the goals, and then I'm going to give the website people can go to if they want more information, and then we're going to go to a break. So the goals, it says, it is our hope that through the mission of Kids Hunting for a Cure, we will instill the following values in today's youth: an appreciation of good health as a gift from God, desire to help those in need, and understanding that participation in community events such as outdoor sporting events can provide service to those in need as well as foster relationships with others. So if people want to go look up information and become part of it, they can go to kidshuntingforacure.org. So that's the place to go. So when we come back from break, we're going to talk more about this organization.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for us at keyword World Talk Radio.
If you are a parent of a child with autism, you know that there can be day-to-day struggles emotionally. Now you can share insights and outlooks with the Mother Cub Show. Your host, Susan Lynn Perry, a parent of a child with autism, will bring a new perspective to the subject, from diagnosis to effective treatments that are working. Her guests will include professionals, authors, and individuals that will bring wonder and hope to the world of autism. Tune in to the Mother Cub Show, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
What's missing in your life? Do you feel like you've lost your identity? Are you trying to cope with a loss in your life? Are you trying so hard to be a people pleaser? Stop! invest some time in Dr. Marla Sloan's program, Mind Over Matters. This program will help you find the answers to these questions and more. Dr. Marla's passion is to help people to be the best they can be. And this program does just that. Tune in to Mind Over Matters with Dr. Marla every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today, we're talking about a particular organization called Kids Hunting for a Cure. It's about having hunting expeditions to raise money for research to find a cure for kids' cancer and other childhood diseases. And my guest host today is Dr. John Waples from Huntsville, Alabama. And we were talking during the break about starting a chapter like this. So would you like to tell our listening audience what your goal is and how they can go about doing that?
Well, our ultimate goal, and you have to reach for the stars or you'll never reach one, right? Is to have over 1,000 chapters nationwide. And we think it's a realistic goal because the National Wildlife Turkey Federation has over 1,000 chapters. And I love the National Wildlife Turkey Federation. I am a member, and they've done a great thing, and we're just trying to do a great thing for kids. Mm-hmm. But if that can happen for turkeys, this can happen for kids. And so our main focus is to keep expanding the number of chapters. The more chapters we have, the more kids are getting outdoors. So if someone's interested in starting something in their area, you know, we really do give them advice. The first thing is start small. Dave Norville actually started his first chapter with a 11-child turkey hunt. Mm-hmm. And he got a bunch of guides together, and the kids had to go door-to-door, knock for donations to get their guides spot. And they went on turkey hunt. The kids had a blast. A lot of people heard about it. The next year, it was a 29-kid hunt. The next year, it was a 55. The next year, it was 100. And this thing got bigger and bigger. And the biggest event they've had was over 100 kids, and it raised $100,000 went to St. Jude. So don't try to do a monstrous event the first year. Mm-hmm. Start small. Get a handful of friends. Knock on doors. Meet some farmers and landowners, and tell them what you're doing. The doors have really opened up there. We just commit to getting enough land for the kids first, getting enough guides second. Your local game wardens almost invariably will help and come do educational things. And it's amazing what local support, your sporting goods stores, Walmart, et cetera, that will give supplies and donation items for auction. And, in fact, we even actually have some help in that regard, some guys that will actually help get donation items for an auction. We typically use an auction as a means of raising funds for St. Jude, but also a lot of areas, you know, they want the kids to contribute to the donation. We don't really want the parents paying for the spot. In general, what we want is the kid just to take a piece of paper and go door to door and ask for a donation. And if they ask 40 people and they all gave a dime, that's okay. If they ask 40 people and they all give $10, that's okay. But they went and talked about this event and what they're doing. The kids really contributed, and they learned something from that. So mm-hmm. start small, and what you'll find is the first year you may do a 10 or 20 kid fishing tournament at a local pond or something else. But whatever your event is, pick it, stay small, you know, find out what works, what didn't work, make it better the next year. and delegate. Make sure you get a lot of helpers to help you tackle different goals for the event, and we'll go over what those goals are. We actually help you with insurance from the corporate standpoint. We've got a national insurance that is very inexpensive for the kids. And if someone wanted to call, then contact us through the email address that you gave out, and get registered. We have kind of an organization, some organizational events to help you out to begin with, and we pick a date and get rolling.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to volunteer their property for a hunt, would they go to the website to do that too?
They can once a local chapter is established. You know, each landowner will want to be in the region the chapter started, because we have events the evenings, the evening before and the evening after the hunt for education, organization, auctions, etc. And so, you know, then the kids spoke out in different directions from that event. And so, you know, usually they're, you know, within an hour of the event. And so that's where the landowners, we'd want them to call. And typically each site will have a contact person. And, you know, you can use local radio, for example, to solicit for you too, and have landowners contact the main person that way, and donation items, etc. But it's amazing the amount of people that come out in every community that tries this.
That's great. Now, is this just males, or can girls go too?
Oh, absolutely. We had a young lady win the Big Buck contest just 2 years ago, and she actually came back and went on a turkey hunt in West Tennessee, and placed in the top five in the biggest turkeys killed. So she's quite an established hunter. She's about 16, but they're actually, we're seeing more and more girls come up, sign up, and want to have that experience. So we certainly encourage that.
And you won some kind of an award related to turkeys. Can you explain what that is?
Well, it's kind of, yes. I have the state record turkey for Tennessee.
Okay.
And you know, you never know how God works everything out.
Yeah.
And I managed to shoot this turkey that had eight beards and scored incredibly well, and it's actually number eight in the nation, but number one in the state of Tennessee.
Wow.
So it was somewhat noteworthy turkey, and Dave Norvell called me about that turkey and wanted me to bring the turkey to show the kids at a turkey hunt he was doing for some kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it over there, saw this event, and that's when I started talking to him. Dave, this is an awesome event, but it's just in your area. Why don't we make this a charitable event that we could do all across the nation? Well, Dave is, you know, just thought that was the greatest idea in the world. And we met up with Leith, who had been taking kids out in Lincoln County at a big event every year. And then it just springboarded there. All three of us got together, agreed to try it. And here we are a few years later, and we're in about 12 states now.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing. So do you go to the states to set up the chapters, or you have a package that people can get? How do they figure out what to do?
A little bit of both. It depends on what people are doing. We have some reps that will travel and help set up and help get the person organized, make sure there are some face-to-face meetings, and that's been very helpful for them. But literally, if someone's a little more ambitious, we can just do it over the phone and email. And the main thing is, once someone starts a chapter, is their tendency is to want to go bigger and bigger and bigger the first year. And we really encourage them to downshift a little bit, keep it controlled, you know, learn from your first year, and then really try to go bigger the second year. And
mm-hmm.
That's my biggest advice is, once the ball starts rolling, your tendency is to want to make this monstrosity event. And we don't want anybody to burn out. We want them to feel great that they contributed and did this, and we don't want them to be burnt out. We encourage them to delegate and get help, and those are kind of a lot of the advice we have. But we've also made a lot of mistakes over the years, so we teach them that too. Hey, don't do this, and do it this way, and you'll prevent problems.
So how much time do you have to devote to this project? Because you're kind of busy.
Yeah, I'm kind of busy. You're right. And, you know, at this point, I do a lot more with the board and with the making sure we stay legal, make sure we're trying to keep all the paperwork and organization right. And, again, the key is delegation, just getting people underneath you. There's a young man, it's just all heart, Matt Sturdivant, who is now the president and kind of overseeing chapter development. And he has just done an amazing job, and, you know, he's gotten people under him to do everything. So we're all really delegating. We're not trying to be, you know, a kingdom builder where you do everything. I mean, you'll burn out that way. You've got to delegate. You've got to trust other people. And that's really worked so that I stay focused and I don't burn out, and I keep other people involved, which they tell more people about it, and it just keeps growing.
That's wonderful. It's really a mission that you're doing that's helping a lot of people. And it's interesting how things develop. They're not coincidences. They happen as they're supposed to.
Well, it was interesting. You're absolutely right. I mean, I was lucky enough to shoot that record book turkey, and kind of a turkey of a lifetime. And I had started a nonprofit organization here in Huntsville. It's called the Christian Cancer Support Group. Mm-hmm. And it's the largest support group in Huntsville area, about 60 people there a night. Mm. And to this day, and I did that years ago. Well, I learned about starting these nonprofits from that experience. So putting this all together, you know, I kind of knew how to start a 501(c), how to make a board, run it, and I surrounded myself by people who knew how to get kids together and make sure they had fun and it was safe, and boy, it just kept going.
Mm. That's tremendous, and I'm glad that you were willing to give your time and effort to have this happen, because without you and without your vision, it would not take place. So if a child happens to hear this broadcast and says, I want to do that, what would they have to do in order to go on a hunting expedition?
Well, they can contact the website, and it'll let them know when the next event's occurring.
Okay.
And they can actually sign up. I mean, we've had people actually drive from South Carolina to Tennessee to go up to an event, or Texas to you know, Arkansas for an event. You know, we had a really neat case where I was called. A child had leukemia and was going through treatments, but, you know, the doctor said they could travel during this period. It was just after our hunt, and we got them with some of our guys and coordinate that, and actually got them a place to stay while they were there. And his parents came, of course, and he got to go have a hunting experience right in the middle of treatment for acute leukemia.
Wow, that's tremendous. That's so inspiring for people. Well, we are going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more about this wonderful organization.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Follow the World Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at World Talk Radio. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the World Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/World Talk Radio or follow along with us at World Talk Radio, the World Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Can you think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on World Talk Radio Variety. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today we're talking about Kids Hunting for a Cure. It's an organization that takes kids hunting and it raises money that goes for research for childhood cancers and also childhood diseases. And my guest host is Dr. Waples, who is my personal oncologist, and he helped start this organization. So we're going to talk now about, can you describe for our listening audience what a usual hunting expedition would be like?
Okay, well, you know, most of them are on Saturday, and so we use Friday afternoons and evenings to let people come into the area if they're traveling, or, you know, for parents to get off to work and come in, take the child in, sign them in, make sure they sign the all the paperwork that's required, which is not a lot, but we want to make sure that the parents give consent. Have the parent or guardian with the child meet the guide, so that evening that they're meeting the guide and getting together. Typically, the guide has already gone out to the land that he's allowed to hunt. Mm-hmm. And talked with the landowner and given advice of where to go, and uses his skills to try to give the child a good chance to have success there. So they meet up, and the guide will tell the child, you know, here's what we're going to do, here's my recommendations. They make plans to meet in the morning, and they meet and they go out and go hunting. Well, that evening, though, the Friday evening when they're meeting, there's typically, you know, maybe a silent auction going on or even a small live auction. Sometimes some local musicians are playing in the background. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on. We typically have it at either fairgrounds or a church, and that's been the two easiest areas to get. The community usually is very receptive using the fairgrounds and a lot of people at maybe a given church want to start one. They have it at their church. So those are typically the venues. And that evening is more about organization, getting the kids ready to go. They hunt in the morning. And we come back at noon that day, and they have additional teaching things, safety events from the game wardens typically. In Fayetteville, we had them shoot a bow and arrow. They got to shoot a pistol. They've got to go through some educational classes, climbing a tree stand. You know, the game wardens are there with a lot of safety equipment, but the kid actually gets to do that. So they actually get to have a lot of experiences just at the fairgrounds, and that's including kids that don't go hunting. We let kids come from the community who weren't involved in the event to participate. We have a lot of door prizes and lunch. Well, then the kids go back out and hunt in the afternoon if they want to, and then they come back in the evening. We have some awards for the kids, typically, you know, the biggest turkey or the biggest deer or the biggest fish. We also give awards for the child who raised the most money. You know, if they went out and went door to door and asking for donations and brought that in, we like to recognize that child for his contribution and pat him on the back, and usually have a prize for him. Typically the bigger auction is that night. And we've had people sing at the events as well. So it's kind of interesting who may show up. I've had the pleasure of hunting with Troy Gentry from Montgomery Gentry, and he's actually showed up to some events, and he was so moved. He got up and sang some songs and then gave his guitar up for auction.
Oh, my goodness.
And Aaron Tippin has contributed. John Anderson has also. So those are three kind of noteworthy guys that don't mind helping kids. They all enjoy hunting. And so it's a neat way to have some neat entertainment while they're there as well.
Mm-hmm. So is this how you wrote the words to the song, Every Dog Has Its Day?
A little twist to that. Because of the Kids Hunt for a Cure, though, and this organization, Ryan Klesko, who is a former Brave and Padre, spent, I don't know, a dozen years or more in the major leagues, retired and started a similar organization called Blue Rhino, who raises money for kids and parents going to events, because a lot of times they have to travel and just gas money and things like that. So it was a great organization. He called me and said, hey, let's get together and try to help each other out and make this mm-hmm. bigger and better. And so we met, came up with the idea, in order to get better entertainment at our events, let's, you know, really spend some time with the songwriters. And we brought a lot of songwriters down, took them hunting. And I realized at that point that songwriting is not rocket science. There's not a computer involved, and there's not pads of paper and graphs and everything. They're just kind of very creative guys who wing songs. And I was teasing some guys about how easy it was, and they laughed at me, of course, and challenged me to write a song. So I wrote Every Dog Has Its Day, gave my storyline and hook to Bobby Pinson, who's a great songwriter and great musician, and you know, and he transformed it, put music to it, and it changed a lot, and just made it what it is today, and pitched it to Toby Keith, because Toby Keith says, hey dog, all the time. Hey dog, what's up? Oh. His record label is Show Dog Records, so it's kind of his mantra, and I think that's why he liked it, and he instantly picked it up, and really Bobby Pinson made it the success it is.
And it's not an autobiography song, correct?
Everybody can relate to that song, because
Yes. Everybody
has their day now and then, but often it's not your day.
Yeah, yeah, and I liked how the woman was the power person in the song.
Well, I'll give you the rest of the story there, okay? When it was originally written, I wrote it where when the guy cut in on the dance, the man punches him.
Uh-huh.
And Toby actually said, no, that's too negative. He said, that's not funny. Now,
wow.
If we have the girl punch him, that's funny.
Uh-huh.
So, actually, I have to give Toby credit for that.
Okay. Well, it's a good song. I lent my copy to somebody, and they kept it, so I got to go get me another one, because I had you autograph it for me, and now that person has it. So, when you're famous from all the songs you write, then I guess you'll have quite a collection.
I hope I get a chance to have another hit like that. That was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Do you get your name mentioned that you've actually written it? Are you on the label?
Yeah, I'm on the label. I'm on the CD, and you know, you have to use a magnifying glass to find it. But I did manage to make it there and get a little notoriety locally. But interesting, John Anderson and I are going to write a song together now, just, you know, he's got a great music mind, and I've got some storylines that are interesting. So we're having some fun doing it. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think you ought to write one about this organization, about hunting with kids.
Oh, that would be a great idea. You're absolutely
right.
That's a great idea.
And you said when we were on break that the licenses for kids for hunting and fishing are decreasing.
Right.
You want to do something about that.
It's true for most every state. Just the number of kids, the number of license sales in general are going down for hunting and fishing, and we really think it's just more of a lack of opportunity. And so especially if maybe the dad hunted or fished earlier in life, but he's distracted by other things in life now and not going, he's never taking that kid, and the kid's not buying a license, and the opportunities are down. You know, years ago, there were a lot of public fishing areas, and there were a lot of farmers that would let, you know, a lot of people hunt their land, but, you know, a lot of them, they're concerned about legal risk and other things, so they just really have closed down their farms to hunting. But when they hear this organization, and they know the caliber of people that are really organizing and running it and the mission, They reopen their farms up, and these kids can go have a great experience.
Mm-hmm. So places that you go, like for fishing, do does anybody restock the ponds, or you just let nature do its normal course of events?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm amazed at how much fish are produced by a small pond. I have about a 4-acre pond up in Tennessee, and we have a fishing tournament there every year and have for the last 4 years. And I was always apprehensive about taking too many fish out of the pond. Mm-hmm. And I had a pond expert kind of come out and look at it. And he said, John, you realize you need to take out 200 pounds of brim a year to keep this pond at a steady state. Otherwise, your fish will die off.
Oh,
and your numbers will drop, and they'll be unhealthy. And then he gave, I can't remember the number of bass I needed to take out of the pond. So at that point, the kids were even more excited because I used to make them throw the bass back. Now I let them keep everything, and the pond hasn't changed a bit. If anything, it's gotten better because I can't possibly take that much fish out. And so I have this big event, 50 kids fishing, and they can keep everything that they catch.
When the kids go on these expeditions, are they taught how to gut the deer and clean the fish and all that?
Yeah, we actually have a cleaning station typically at every event. So if someone doesn't know how or, you know, doesn't know how to do it properly, they can bring it there, and the other kids get to watch, which is kind of cool. Often the guides really know how to do it, and so the guys will do the initial part of cleaning the game out in the field. And then also, if the child, gosh, you know, that's just way too much meat for us, we don't have that kind of freezer space, we typically get Hunters for the Hungry involved. It's a great organization that will take wild game in and process the deer and give it to, you know, homeless shelters or other soup kitchens for food for the hungry.
Oh, that's great. Well, do the kids actually eat any of the things that they kill or capture?
Oh, yeah, we encourage them. And we'll actually have processors there that if the child wants that deer processed, they can either take it back with them to their home and have it processed, or they can have a processor process the meat for them, make it into hamburger or steaks or whatever they want, and then bring that back with them.
Oh, well, that's good. Because I know sometimes people have a hard time, you know, eating something they've just killed. You know that might have been Bambi's mother or something. So, yeah.
Well, we help them get over that very quickly. But typically, if the child wants to go on a hunt and can do all that, he's beyond that, and so are the parents. So that really hasn't been a problem. But that, you know, that kind of mindset, though, you know, is one thing that we can really change. I mean, we really teach the kids, if just like the fish, if you don't catch the fish and take them out, problems happen. Similarly, all the natural predators are gone. If you don't manage the herd and keep the deer population down, they actually overpopulate, starve, get sick, and they can have massive die-offs. In addition, not controlling the deer population in the fall or in the winter months, the deer start eating more and more grass on the side of the road, and there's more and more fatalities.
Okay, I'm going to have to interrupt you because we got to go to a break. But when we come back, we'll talk some more. Thank you.
Okay.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take World Talk Radio on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
We all lead busy lives, and sometimes we think we can't take care of our health. We battle food addictions, time restrictions, and media conflictions when it comes to our health. Now, you can tune in to the Dare to Be Healthy show with host Alia Almoayed. Good health comes to those who dare to take the leap into the amazing world of natural healing. Find out what it's like to look and feel great, and finally live your life to its maximum potential. Let Alia and her guests show you how. Dare to Be Healthy is broadcast live Mondays at 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. World Talk Radio presents a new kind of health awareness talk show, the Sharon Kleina Hour,
health, environment, and the power of water. Show host Sharon Kleina interviews leading scientists to discover how each of us can become proactive in protecting our personal health environment in an increasingly unhealthy world. Every show offers new information that could save your life. The Sharon Kleina Hour is health from an environmental perspective, your ultimate source for a personal environmental lifestyle. Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Listen.
Listen.
The world is talking. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today, our topic is kids hunting for a cure. And Dr. John Waples is my personal oncologist and my guest host, and we're talking about how this organization raises money that goes for research for childhood cancers and childhood diseases. So I want to find out, how does the money get from an event where you raise it to get to the place that you're giving it to?
Okay, sometimes, actually, for example, if it's going to St. Jude, they'll actually have a representative there, and and we'll actually do the accounting right that evening and cut them a check that evening. One great experience I had last year was Joe Theismann is actually on the celebrity board for St. Jude, and one of our members met him down at the beach, and kind of they got to talking and talked all about kids hunting for a cure, and Joe said, well, you know, I would love to come visit your area, hear more about that, and maybe make a, you know, kind of a PR slash publicity meeting with you guys accepting the check. And so that was in Fayetteville, Tennessee last year, and so, you know, we made the local and regional papers giving Joe Theismann a check to take back to St. Jude's.
That's wonderful. And it's so encompassing that so many people get involved, and it affects positively so many directions and people. It's really a very good thing. So how do you decide which organization the money is going to go to?
Well, we do have some flexibility, and one thing in making this, we didn't want kind of a cookie cutter, one size fits all for every community. So we left some flexibility in there on purpose, and you know the local chapter may want to keep a percentage of the money to a local charity. Mm-hmm. That local charity has to kind of meet the main principles of cancer research or treatment of childhood illnesses in mind, but and it has to go to a nonprofit organization, but they can, you know, help direct some of that money locally, and then the board then takes the remainder and would give it appropriately to, you know, whatever organization we choose. So, but it doesn't have to be St. Jude; it can be Children's Miracle Network or other nonprofits that meet that goal.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, when I give money, how do I know what percentage goes for overhead and what percentage actually goes to the research place? Do you have any figures on that?
Yeah, right now, you know, we're new and growing. The majority does go to research. We do take some for overhead. Now, mm-hmm. we don't count insurance for an event as overhead. That's just the cost of the event.
Mm-hmm.
But for the reps and the accounting and the legal work, so there is a minority that is kept for that. But no, the majority of the money does go directly to the nonprofit organizations. So I think it's been you know, very powerful for them. we do let the organization, okay, so that chapter, you know, and I'm just making up numbers, but let's say they raise $20,000. Mm-hmm. If they want to keep $2,000 for themselves to for startup for next year's event,
sure.
So they have something to start up, we let that happen, and mm-hmm. we just use the remainder and distribute it according to the bylaws. But mm-hmm. it's been great to be involved. You're right, a lot of them spend 99% in advertisement and 1% to the charities, but we kind of want to make sure we do the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well, this seems more like a mission rather than, you know, you're not trying to get out there and make money for yourselves. You're trying to do a good thing.
Well, we don't have any paid employees, okay?
Oh,
so
okay.
Everything's volunteer. We do reimburse the reps for their, you know, their gas or their cell phone bills, talking to all these different organizations. But really, it's been a volunteer from day zero on up.
Mm-hmm. That's good because it keeps people, you know, they've got to have the right frame of mind, the right attitude about it. So that's good. So if a person wanted to get involved, I'm going to give the website again. It's kidshuntingforacure.com. And I wanted to talk about, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I wanted to find out, you know, as a Christian, so many people say, oh, we shouldn't be involved in stem cell research. But you are a person who is a believer, and you're involved in that. So can you kind of tell people why that's important and that it's a good thing?
Sure. You know, first of all, it's really called hematopoietic stem cell.
Okay.
Research. So really we're taking, you know, bone marrow stem cells. So these stem cells can't make a human being or anything like that. All they can do is make all the blood cells of the lung.
Okay.
And so we take a person's blood cells, their bone marrow, take it out, freeze it. That allows us to give that person much higher doses of chemotherapy to kill and eradicate the cancer.
Hmm.
The chemotherapy usually is gone in 48 hours. So, you know, we know when the chemo is gone. We've eradicated the cancer. But if we didn't do anything else, the bone marrow would just shut down. It just can't tolerate that. So what we do after 48 hours, we take their stem cells out of the freezer, give it back to them, and the bone marrow knows where to go. It goes to the bone marrow, sets up shop. In 2 weeks, it's producing cells, and the patient survives the treatment and beats the cancer. And that's the basic concept of a hematopoietic stem cell transplant. Now, I kind of agree with you. There is a gray zone when it comes to just quote-unquote, you know, pluripotent, which means it can make anything, stem cells, like embryonic stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there is some slippery slope and gray zones in doing research there. And I can understand the dilemma. But really, there really hasn't been any controversy in using a person's stem cells to help treat themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If people want to read about the research that you've been a part of and the research that's going on at St. Jude's, is there a place they can go access that information?
Yes, yeah, stjude.com has a great website, and they can go over, and they're always doing things there. It's just really fascinating. And Clearview Cancer Institute, we have 14 open trials right now, clinical trials that our patients are eligible for if they should choose. Certainly, they're not required to go on research, but sometimes if they're eligible, we offer it to them.
Okay.
If they want to do it, great. If they don't, we have standard therapies for them as well. But kind of a shout-out to St. Jude. I'll give you my connection there.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left.
Okay,
so.
My roommate in college calls me. His son has cancer. He's 3 years old. They just switched jobs, and they don't have insurance. He's really upset. So I hooked him up with St. Jude's. St. Jude flew him up there, treated him. The kid is in high school now, straight-A student, completely cured, and St. Jude took care of everything.
Wow.
And told him the first day, don't worry about it. We won't bill you. They're that well-funded, and they do a great job.
That's a wonderful way to end our program today, and I'm so grateful that you did this as a present to me, and I'm so glad that we could help the organization. So if people want more information, go to kidshuntingforacure.org. And be sure to listen in next week when we are live from a mission project. So thank you so much, Dr. Waples. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.